The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's me and Brian, solo. We are riding solo. Mike Harrington's somewhere, he's floating about. The show's later. It's later this week, Brian, as you know. What is going on with Harrington? Why isn't he on here right now?
You got to tag in the third string these days. I mean, Mike is being extremely irresponsible and letting his computer rule his life right now. Apparently, his computer's spazzing out. He'll be here shortly. From what I understand,
Anthony Smith will also be here shortly as well. But the reality is this show is coming out late on a Wednesday night. So we apologize, people, all you believers. We appreciate you very, very much. We appreciate the passion. Anthony Smith, when he was telling that story on the last episode about the bounce house, he said the believers came out in force and the owner of that bounce house has been like calling him almost crying because she's been getting hounded. But he's right now on holiday, vacation with his family. He's at Disneyland, but he's going to call in from the pool shortly. So it's a bit of a higgledy-piggledy mess right now, but we're here. We're going strong. We're delivering a show, Brian.
He actually called me like right afterwards, and he said that the believers were smashing that place and that the lady called him up and was like, hey, sorry. Can any way we can get this taken down?
So, can you call off the dogs? But we'll speak to Anthony in a little bit. We'll let him talk about that because it's his story. It isn't ours. It is Wednesday, as I said, ladies and gentlemen. Apologies. Had a very insanely busy last month of my life, as had Anthony as well. So it's been hard, but I'm back home for about a month now. So I'll be around. We're going to plan two a week. And the reason that this came out on the Wednesday is because I got back late Monday night. I was going to do the Tuesday, but if you heard me yesterday, I was doing my Yoel impression again. This is pissing me off. I keep losing my voice all the time, and I've got to go see a doctor. Years ago, when I fought tonsillitis, sorry to talk about myself, but quick explanation. When I fought tonsillitis, I was like, my throat was it wasn't painful, but I couldn't breathe very well. And I always felt like I was choking. And Rebecca would always make fun of me. Her and Ellie were always making fun. Oh, look at him. Can you not breathe well? So I went to the doctor. And he stuck a camera up my throat and down my nose. And the first thing he said was, first question is, how are you even breathing? Because it was so inflamed and swollen. So anyway, he gave me some steroids, corticosteroids, perfectly legal to fight with and whatnot. And it took care of that. But he said, and I might have said this before, the way I talk, you know, I'm very nasal, you know, because I'm not from Manchester, but I'm from just outside of Manchester. And maybe I talk a little bit like that. So my vocal cords vibrate like crazy. If you talk like this, they vibrate less. You'll never have this problem, Brian. You have the voice of God.
Yeah, well, that's just one of the perks, I guess. But yeah, man, it's your British accent. It's going to kill you one day.
Well, it is almost killing me. Nice segue. Well done, Brian, because when I covered for DC recently on the pay-per-view, I was sitting at the very beautiful Holiday Inn with the UFC putters. And I ordered my steak and eggs from the Rise and Shine Bakery in Las Vegas. Oh my God, they do a dish called the Ultimate Steak and Egg. It's a big, massive piece of ribeye, all pepper crusted, hash browns, two beautiful eggs. It's amazing. Every time I'm in Vegas, that's my treat. Anyway, I'm scoffing down my ribeye and I got to chew. Now, listen, my wife always says, Michael, you're biting off too much. You know what I mean? But I'm 43. I know how I can eat at this stage of my life. Do you know what I mean? I've always been a big swallower, a big eat. That sounded weird.
phrasing, Michael Bisping.
Yes, 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 yes. I've always swallowed a good load. But on this occasion, I try swallowing a piece of steak. And this is at the UFC hotel. And I'm like, and it gets lodged, right? And you don't spaz out initially. You're like,
oh, shit, that's weird.
You know, you start like trying to dislodge it. And then like, you're like, hold on a minute. This isn't good.
Slowly creeps in. You're like, oh, fuck, I might die right here in a diner.
Slowly start panicking. So the first thing I did was I stuck my fingers down my throat. I was like trying to see if I could get it. I couldn't reach it there. And I'm like, And then this woman that worked for the UFC, she could see she was like 30 yards away from me or whatever, 30 feet maybe. She comes running over. She's banging on my back like crazy. And I'm like, that isn't working. Then I get up and I'm running around the hotel lobby, holding my throat. It was, honestly, I'm laughing now. It was bad.
Sounds like a fucking nightmare, dude.
It was bad. And then the security guard ran over and he's doosh, doosh, doosh on my back. I legit thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. And eventually, massive piece of steak flew across the room.
Hit somebody in the face with it?
Yeah, slap him in the face with a piece of saliva and sweat. Steak, sorry. So anyway, but since then, I keep choking on anything I eat all the time. So I got to go back to the doctor because A, I'm losing my voice. And B, every time I eat food, it must be all inflamed. Anyway, so there you go. That's why no show yesterday.
Hey, man, shit happens. But speaking of biting off more than you can chew, I saw you're hanging out with GSP this weekend.
Oh. And
that wasn't a dig at you. That was a dig at him, because I'm not sure anybody can fucking go out with you in Vegas and have a good next day.
Oh, no. Listen. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I forgot about that. But yeah, so we just did the For the Love of MMA Expo in Manchester. Shout out to everybody that came along and attended it. It was a great event. The feedback that we got from everyone that attended was incredible. People said the nicest things. One guy brought a picture that he took of me at UFC 70 in 2007, like an old school camera, you know, like a real camera, not an iPhone. Yeah. He says, I've had that picture since 2007. I'm waiting to meet you to give it to you. It's me and my son walking out of the arena. I'm carrying Callum. He's like a little baby, you know. I could not do that now. So anyway, so George was there. Saturday night, we go to this restaurant, The Ivy in Manchester. Shout out The Ivy. Great people. And we have a few drinks, you know how it is. Nothing crazy, but we had a funny time. What a night we had. George was great. His agent, Bruno, if you see this, shout out to Bruno. But anyway, I was highly intoxicated. I'm not going to lie, right? I was highly intoxicated. So was George, right? The annoying thing was, though, me and George are sitting there. We're drinking cocktails, right? And my buddy, Daz Morris, very, very good friend of mine, former Muay Thai coach, and Bruno, GSP's agent, they don't drink. So you've just got me and George getting drunk and two probably judging everything. Do you know what I mean? I hate that.
Not only judging, but being like, how many drinks until a fight starts? And then
No.
Not with you guys, but like, I know me personally, I tend to start throwing things when I drink enough.
No, I never do. I always get super happy. There was some Leicester football club, some Leicester players in there, soccer for the American audience. They came over. They were cool because they couldn't believe it. Most people in the restaurant, they were like, hold on a minute. That's Bisping and GSP slowly getting drunk together, being very loud and very, you know, we were making a commotion, but only because we were having fun. So it was a great night. And in fact, George woke me up in the morning because I passed out. Obviously, the time differences. I've been flying all over the place. And in the morning, and I'm not disrespecting George when I do his accent, but it's how he talks. It was just so funny. In the morning, I'm laid in bed, passed out. And the hotel room, like an old school ring. I wake up. I don't know where I am because I've been in Columbus, Ohio. I've been in Vegas. I've been in London. I've been in Manchester. I went home and now I'm back in Manchester. I wake up. I don't know where I am. I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. Hello, Michael. I'm like, hello, who is it? It's George. I'm like, George who? He goes, George fucking St. Pierre. What the fuck you think? Fucking George.
You have
to
say the whole thing every single time, George. Don't you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, fucking George. I know a lot of Georges. And he says, my girl, we got to go for the event. I'm like,
fuck all that.
I'm like, what event? He says, the event. We got to go to the event. I'm like, what event? I said, George, I've literally just woke up. I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, for the love of fucking MMA.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, oh, fuck. Yeah, all right, buddy. I'll see you downstairs in 15 minutes. So anyway, George was amazing. Great turnout. Thank you all that came out and supported that. It really was a fun time. I did a little seminar as well on Sunday afternoon. So it was great. It was good. Nice to be back in Manchester. But still, we got lots of stuff to talk about. We got a big pay-per-view. We got UFC 273, two title fights. Guess what? No guests other than Harrington maybe might join us at some point.
Oh, look who just showed up.
Oh. Speak of the devil.
And he appears.
Whoa. Step away from the microphone.
Modulate yourself, loud. Harrington.
My bad.
My God. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. What was going on? A bit of a technical snafu at your end, was there?
Yeah, so I'm dumb and had the microphone set to the wrong thing, which was creating a buzz. So I was like, I know, I'll restart. That'll fix everything. And Windows was like, hold on a second. We've got to update for a half hour.
Oh, I hate that.
The worst.
And you know what I find? Just going off on a super tangent here. Any of you guys have a PS5?
Negative.
Every time
PC
I want to play...
Master Race.
Pardon me?
PC Master Race over here.
Well. Maybe other people know my pain. But it seems that every time, I don't play a lot of video games, but I'll treat Lucas to one here and there. And sometimes I'll want to sit down and play a game. Every single time you try and play a game, there's like an hour long update. Do you know what I mean?
I have that with my Xbox the other day. I was like, yeah, let me play this new baseball game that came out. It's an hour long update. Fortnite. Yeah. I was like, I'll play Fortnite while I'm waiting. That needed a half hour to update.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I miss the days where you just stick a cartridge in, bosh, off you go.
Well,
and I'll tell you this as well.
Then stick it in.
Yeah.
Crazy, Harry.
I used to have an Amstrad CPC 464. You probably didn't get those, like a Commodore, but the old cassette tape, load up, right? And then, like, sometimes it would take like an hour to load. I'm showing my age here, you know, but you put the tape in, it takes about an hour to load. And then sometimes it would crash.
What?
Do you not remember this? Tapes to load computer games?
Oh, like floppy disks.
No, cassettes.
Fuck out of here. No,
that's way before my time.
Whoa. Get fucked. Come on.
Dude, like the first video game system I remember playing is the NES.
Just Google Amstrad CPC 464, Brian. Bring that up. That'll bring back some memories. Kind of like the Commodore 64. It was Amstrad's version. I think they're a British company. But you put a tape in.
What is this monstrosity?
Yeah, show it on the screen. I want to see it. What do you mean a monstrosity? There
what
it is.
This thing.
Yeah, baby. The fucking Amstrad. That brings back so many memories. I remember Christmas Eve, my dad drove us to some guy's house in Worley, like a very nice house. And we picked it up. And I was like, over the moon. And we went home. But you load games on tape. But a lot of the time, it would crash right at the end. You're like, fuck, you're going to start all over again. So I don't know why. We would always be like, quiet.
Look at the drive.
Yeah, but then, yeah, that's CPC 6128. That's the next one up, which we got a few years later. Shout out, Jan Bisping, keeping us up to speed with the fucking Amstrad systems. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, they were on tapes. We used to go to the shop, buy the games, take them home, just record them in a hi-fi, then take them back and say, oh, it doesn't work. That was my little scam that I used to do back in the day.
My mind is blown. I used to just have to steal games off of torrent sites and burn them onto CDs. But like a VCR tape, dude, that's wild to me.
No, it's like a cassette tape. They're not VCR. Yeah, so it was so easy. Just put it in a fucking hi-fi, stick a blank tape in the other one, record, bosh, off you go. Have a little stroll back up to the shop. Sorry, didn't work. I'll take my $5.99 back, please. See ya.
Wild.
Anyway, I used to feel like quite the criminal and quite the genius as well when I was doing that.
Yeah,
anyway,
because then you can copy the copy and sell it to your friends.
But I was never that smart. I wasn't a fucking organized criminal, Harrington. I wasn't Pritheros Mafia, you know. All right. So Anthony Smith is on vacation right now in Disneyland. Is it Disneyland or Disney World?
I think it's Disney World, if I'm not mistaken. If he was in Disneyland and didn't come by the Bisping Half Mansion, that'd be a little offensive.
It'd be very offensive. And I would be very offended. Yeah. I would. I'd be like, come on over. We'll have a barbecue. It's 98 degrees here right now.
Don't you hate when people come over?
Depends who it is. I was fine with you two.
That's yeah, I was going to say. I thought we had a great time, Brian.
What we had a great time.
You pick up?
No, we had sure a
great
did.
Time. We did. I love visitors. I just like it when they leave. You know what I mean? It's great to have them. Great to have them. But then eventually it's like, oh, can I get my house back? So anyway.
Speaking of which, are the in-laws still there?
No, they just left.
So you got to get away from the in-laws by going to Manchester and London and Columbus, Ohio. Like, you got to avoid that whole visit, pretty much.
They were here for 6 weeks. And by the way, they listened to the podcast. So please be respectful, Harrington. look at the face on you. Then you shit your pants. No. They're awesome. They're the perfect house guests because Graham, my father-in-law, he loves to, you know, he's an old retired guy. Well, I say old, he's not that old, but you know, he's retired, but he's good with his hands. You know, like screwdrivers and drills. You're like a proper good old-fashioned man. I'm not. I suck. My hands are good for punching people in the face and messing about.
Picking up microphones.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's about it. So he comes, and I've always got like a long list of jobs. Also, for the garage, I ordered a cable crossover machine off Amazon. That came in about 35 different boxes. It took him 2.5 days to put together. But I was away traveling, came back, bing, glorious cable crossover machine in the garage. Shouts out Graham for that one. So yeah, no. But yeah, I was away for quite a lot of the trip. So of their stay, should I say. All right, guys, real quick, I want to tell you about Chicken Skin. You know the one. It is the 100% organic snack that has zero carbs. That is right. Normally you reach for a bag of chips or maybe some popcorn or whatever like that. The problem is, yes, they are delicious. I mean, come on, who doesn't love a good bag of chips or crisps, as we say in the UK? Of course, they are good. They are delicious, but they're very fattening. And before you know it, you're going to turn into one big giant fat blob, okay? Because they're just not good for you. Chicken Skin, as I said, 100% organic and zero carbs per serving. So you get a delicious flavor, you get a nice snack, and zero carbs. So there you go. Plus 8 different flavors, original, salted vinegar, buffalo wing, chili lime, salt and pepper, Jamaican jerk. I used to know a Jamaican jerk. Clucking hot and cheese. Plus you can enjoy Chicken Skin as a snack on its own, or maybe a salad topper, or even nachos if you really want to pick out. So go to Chicken Skin, Chicken Skin, Chicken Skin, and use the promo code BELIEVE20. You're going to get 20% off your order. That is BELIEVE20. When you go to chickenskin.com, you're going to get 20% off when you use BELIEVE20 as the code. Anyway, it's delicious. Check it out. You'll like it. Anyway, all right. I'm looking at these non-MMA stories, Harrington, that you've put in here.
Okay.
I just don't. What is this? Number one seed Michael Kawame was upset by Rafael Nee in an international juniors tennis tournament. In what is supposed to be a post-match handshake, Kawame slapped his opponent at the net. Oh, very Will Smith.
Will Smith?
Do we have a video of it? And can you give us some color while Brian brings that up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just the fact that they're both teenagers. I believe the offender here is like only 15 years old. And you know, he was the number one seeded guy. He was supposed to win the tournament. And it seems like he was very upset. You see, he goes in for the handshake here and then boom, real quick, catches him.
Will Smith is going to be a lot to answer for. You know what I mean? These young, impressionable kids, this is what they do. You go out there slapping people, all of a sudden, we're normalizing slapping people. Will, shame on you.
I wonder why the person who's filming it shook like they got slapped.
I believe he was their coach. I genuinely feel like the guy who filmed that is a coach. He's a tennis coach. And I believe he may have a relationship with one of the two men.
Hold on, let's have a look at the slap again. Oh, yeah, there was a reaction there. Anyway, number three, Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, come on, who didn't love a bit of Bruce Willis? Die Hard was awesome. Pulp Fiction. He was ace in that. What's your favorite, and Brian, favorite Bruce Willis movie?
I mean, I you know, you already said it. Probably Die Hard's my favorite, but I think the most lasting impression is probably Sixth Sense.
Ooh, Sixth Sense was good.
Yeah.
I tell you what else was good. What was that one? Unbreakable.
Unbreakable was great.
Unbreakable was dope. Yeah.
I have to go with Pulp Fiction. I mean, how many times do you get to see somebody get murked with a samurai sword?
It's the best.
It's fucking awesome.
And I quote it all the time. You know what I mean? When Marcellus Wallace is, when they've both been kidnapped and Marcellus Wallace is getting raped and he kills the gimp and he walks in and he kills the other guy and he's like, you okay? And he's like, no, pretty fucking far from okay. Rebecca, all the time when something's happened, she goes, are you okay? I said, no, I'm pretty fucking far from okay. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just such a, that movie's just the best. What is your favorite Pulp Fiction quote?
I mean, probably right after that when he's like, it's about to get real medieval on his ass.
Yeah, yeah. About a couple of guys with some plaza and a blowtorch.
That's a lot.
Anyway, what's going on with Bruce Willis? Not that we are TMZ, but Harrington put it in the notes.
Right. So he came out this week with a condition.
Hold on. He's got alopecia?
No, aphasia, I believe is the way it's pronounced.
It's not pronounced that. It's aphasia.
All right,
It's not far from alopecia.
Yeah, well, I got the PH being a fu sound, so I'm pretty proud of that. But yeah, so it's a disease that affects the brain. It's going to affect his motor skills and his speech down the line, which obviously is going to make it very difficult for him to act in anything. So as a result, he's formally announced he's done with the profession of acting.
Ah, I see. Because I did see a lot of like tributes and stuff on Instagram. However, wasn't that intrigued. Didn't want to Google it, you know, further. But man, no, the guy's a legend. Well, thank you for everything there. What else have we got? Burger King is facing a class action lawsuit from people who claim that the burger is made to look 35% larger in advertisements than what is sold in stores. Harrington, that is not news. That is not, we know this. See the movie Falling Down. Seen that?
The Michael Douglas movie?
Michael Douglas from the 90s.
Okay.
You know the scene when he goes in?
Doesn't he shoot a bunch of people in that movie?
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember from that movie.
Yeah, no. He goes in, I think it was called Happy Burger or something like that, you know, for copyright rules. And he goes in and he wants breakfast, but they won't serve breakfast because it's 12:01. Again, pet hate of mine. Michael Douglas starts losing his shit over that. And then eventually he says, all right, well, give me a burger. And they give him a burger. And this little soggy, smashed little piece of crap gets delivered. And he goes, look at that. On the advertisement, big, juicy, plump, beautiful colors, green lettuce, red tomatoes. That is what I should be served, but you serve me this little miserable thing, and then he shoots up the store. So, yeah, Harrington, this is not news. Michael Douglas was covering this in the 90s.
Well, I mean, it is news just because there is a class action lawsuit against Burger King here, and there is precedent for it. In 2010, British courts ruled that their portrayal of a chicken sandwich being, you know, significantly larger than it is, it had to stop, and it was misleading customers. So they had to stop that campaign, and there was a monetary, you know, win for the you know, people in that class action lawsuit. And the lawsuit says that, you know, especially in these trying times with inflation being the way it is, you're like attacking, you know, the lowest income people in this country, selling them a bill of goods with a tinier Whopper. So.
Oh, well, good. Good. You know, all jokes aside, I do hope they are held accountable to that kind of stuff. Because as you say as well, sadly, and don't take this the wrong way, it is kind of like the lower socio demographic that eats out at those places, and they're getting ripped off on the burgers. What do you want me to say, Harrington? It's a shame. Don't eat it. Just boycott it. Don't eat there. It's not good for you.
Can't really argue with that, but at the same time, you know, they got like 2 for $6 deals, and you know, as somebody who at one point was living on the streets, I'll tell you, like, you know, the couple of sandwiches for the, you know, $6 you happen to have in your pocket is a pretty good deal if it lives up to, you know, the claims that they're making with their food. When it's not that hearty of a meal, you know, you're kind of your customers.
It's a class action lawsuit, so that's a bunch of people all get it together with the same lawyer in mind, probably inspired by that lawsuit from McDonald's back in the day. Remember somebody burnt themselves on a cup of coffee?
Yeah, that was actually like the woman with that kind of got railroaded a little bit, right?
I don't know too much about it, but I did think of it the other day. I'm just gonna throw this out there. American Airlines suck. Okay. I just flew to England and back. They're terrible. I came back on British Airways. I've got executive platinum miles on British Airways. I don't want them. I never want to fly that airline ever again. The food's always bad. A few episodes, probably 6 months ago, when I told them that the food was bad, and he goes, sir, you need to lower your expectations. I was like, all right, whatever. Anyway, on this occasion, the food comes, it's boiling hot.
British Airways or American Airways, Mike? Because you did say both, and I'm going to try to get one of them to be a sponsor. So
American Airways, British Airways are awesome. American Airways can suck it. No, I've burned the side of my mouth on a carrot. It was like molten lava. It was, and then I looked like I had a nasty cold sore, as you people call it, herpes. You know what I mean? All weekend whilst meeting people with a big scab on the side, I'm like, hey, guys, not cold sore. Okay, I just burnt my lip on a really hot carrot, you know? So I'm going to sue him. Simple as that. I'm not really. Anyway, enough nonsense. Should we talk some hard-hitting MMA stuff?
I would love to. Let's see. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. You tell me, mate. There's a lot here. I mean, I guess we'll just start with this weekend. Let's be honest. That's the big talking point right now. That's what people are interested in. UFC 273, two title fights, Volkanovski and Chang Sung Jung. Who else? The Korean Zombie. We've got
Aljamain
Sterling and Piotr Jan. Hamza versus Gilbert Burns. That's the big one. That is the big one, which is driving a lot of the traffic. I have a YouTube page, channel, as we know, and my producer, Ant Evans, he has a thing called TubeBuddy. Right? So when you go on TubeBuddy, you can do search engine optimizations. You can see what people are searching for that day, because a lot of it is driven by, you know, with YouTube, it's trying to trick the algorithm into sharing your video to other people's home pages. And according to TubeBuddy right now, in 273, it's Hamza that's driving all that traffic. He's really taken the mixed martial arts world by storm. Of course, he's undefeated. He's yet to be tested. His stats are through the roof. I mean, people cannot get enough of this guy.
Yeah, and I mean, well, I think that tells you what the title is of this episode is going to be. Hamza Chimaev versus Hamza Chimaev, the Hamza Chimaev.
Yeah. Did you know Hamza? We talk Hamza. And Harrington, if I slashed your lip, you might look like a little Hamza.
Maybe a little bit.
You got a little Hamza in you there.
I mean, I certainly use a beard the same way that he does, just pronounce the facial, right? Like, that's the big thing about guys like me and Hamza. You really need a big beard
to hide their lack of a chin.
Yeah. No, did you see that still? That there was it was on Instagram the other day. Hamza without a chin. Sorry, without a beard. Did you see it? It was the worst Photoshop ever. It looked bizarre. Did you see it?
I mean, I've seen it, 8 million times across the UFC Reddit, because it is a popular. It's just so much fun to take guys who, you know, like me, depend on their beard to have any kind of jawline and then take it away from them.
What would it take for us to get you to shave the beard, Harrington?
I don't know. A subscriber goal. I think that's what it would take. I think it would take 250,000 subscribers by the end of the year.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous.
Why?
But you never know. Our numbers are shooting up lately. But that's a while away. I'm thinking of more. What about if I just chuck you $100? Can we get it?
$100 isn't going to do it. My girlfriend will just stop sleeping with me until it grows back. So I'm going to need more than $100.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But I do like your dedication to the show. Thank you very much. So listen, Hamza Gilbert Burns, we'll start with this one. I mean, listen, the narrative is, it's very simple. If he can go through Burns the way that has done everybody else, I mean, you got to think it's Kamaru Usman next. So this is a big test. Now, when you look at the numbers, we've talked about this at length before. He's only absorbed one strike whilst being in the UFC, which is just wild. It is. And I know we talk about
one strike from Reese McKee while he was like on his back punching up.
John Phillips, yeah. But just doing that. So it wasn't like he got clipped on the feet. Wrestling is outstanding. Conditioning is through the roof. Absolutely huge for a welterweight. 6'2", long reach. I forget what it is off the top of my head. So he's a dominating frame an imposing frame, should I say, not dominate. A very, very big guy, not an ounce of fat on the man. Darren Till, as we know, the Smash Bros. Hopefully he gets I shouldn't say that. Love Gilbert Burns as well. But if he gets the win this weekend, there it is, 75-inch reach, 6'2", 170. Date of birth as well for Brian as well. 1st of May, 1994.
We have the same birthday. That's pretty cool.
1994?
No, May 1st. I'm 88.
Yeah. You're 88. I was going to say 94. I almost don't respect him anymore. How can you respect somebody born in 1994? 1994, I was hitting the clubs, getting up to all kinds of skullduggeries. Anyway, what was I saying? Where was I?
His impressive stats coming into this.
Yeah, yeah. So him and Darren Till are good friends. They're hanging out together. They've launched their own NFTs, the Smash Bros, through Block Asset. If he's victorious this weekend, we'll get Darren and Hamza on next week because they've asked us to come on, the pair of them together. So that'll be great. Obviously, if he loses, he's not going to want to come on. But
knowing Hamza, he actually might. I could see him coming on and be like, all right, I don't care. I'll fight next week. Even if he gets, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, though. I'll just be honest. I've said it before on my YouTube channel, and Gilbert Burns may have come across it because a lot of the websites have, you know, made a headline out of it. And I respect Gilbert Burns so much. You know, he's a friend of the show. He's been on multiple times. He's just a stand-up guy. And his stand-up when fighting is really good as well. Training with Henry Hooft, knockout power. Almost knocked out Kamaru Usman in the first round. And don't get me started on his jiu-jitsu. You know, he's one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners out there. Against Damian Maia, didn't need to use it because he knocked him out with a left hook. You know, he's got tremendous experience. He's a great athlete. I know he's been pushing himself to the absolute limit. So this is a really, really intriguing matchup because you would think it's wrestling versus jiu-jitsu. You know, so therefore, will it hit the ground? No, I think perhaps Hamzat's just going to try and keep it on the feet. But speaking of this, whoa, we're here. We're slogging away. We're working, Harrington. We haven't given up on the show. This guy's chugging beers, looking at $1 million. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. What are you drinking? Is that the same beer you always drink?
Like always. Bush
the Bush Light, my friend.
I don't know what a Bush Light is, but you got a lot of props for drinking that in the comments recently.
Oh, man, I'm predictable, too. If I'm drinking, you can pretty much guarantee it's a Bush Light.
Hey,
even
listen.
Here in Florida.
Hey, we know you're on vacation. I texted him earlier. Obviously, you're going to enjoy it. I said, if you could just join us for 5 minutes by the pool, people will get a kick out of it. How is Disney World treating you and the family?
It is. It's busy. It is goddamn busy. It is hotter than shit. But it's fun, man. It's a lot of fun. I'm telling you, I think I said this to you earlier. Disney World is like its own little country here. Like once you're in it, it's like there's nothing else that exists. You could drive like 20 minutes in either direction and you're still on like Disney World property. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Have you been to Disneyland? Because that's by my house. I've never been to Disney World.
No, I've never been to Disneyland.
Oh, I was going to ask you which is better, but how's it going? Family loving it?
Yeah. We were supposed to leave on Sunday, I think. Yeah, we were supposed to leave Sunday. And then there was a bunch of storms down here in Florida. And I guess a lot of the people that are trying to get in for the Jacksonville pay-per-view are having a hard time getting in too. So our flight got completely canceled right before we were supposed to leave. So then we weren't able to get out until Monday. And then didn't get here until like 12:30 at night. And then by the time we got the kids in bed and got to the hotel and grabbed our luggage and all that shit, it was 2:30 in the morning. We had places to be at 7 a.m. It was
a
long day yesterday. Yeah.
So you just got there yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
And how long are you there?
We come back Saturday.
Nice.
Wait, nope, Sunday. We had to extend our trip a day because we lost the day. So we're here till Sunday.
Well, that's nice, though. That's nice. Let me ask you this.
Hold on. Hey, check this shit out, though. Look at this.
Oh, we got dinosaur bones.
Yeah, it's the boneyard right here. It's the craziest place here.
Everybody's where are the so kids? Big.
We just got out of the pool. We're meeting some friends that live down here in Florida for dinner here in a little while, so they're getting all showered up. And
God, look at you, living the life. I'm talking to Harrington and Brian by myself. Do you know what I mean? The numbers are going to plummet, Anthony, and it's all your fault. We were taking off. We were on a beautiful trajectory. And now, you know, I mean, listen, family comes first because I don't know if you saw the comments from the believers, but they were very depressed that we didn't get a show out on Monday.
I was just going to say, I've never had a group of people that made me feel so goddamn cool like the believers. You know, like even when they're upset, I know that it's coming from a place of love. Like they want us to, you know, they want to get this episode out so I don't know. They make me feel real good. Oh, I never updated about the thing with my kid.
So just real quick. Yeah. Brian brought that up a little bit at the start and I said, no, I said, save it. I said, that's Anthony's story or his circumstance. So yeah, go ahead. Just a bit of color. Well, no, just quickly, briefly give a bit of background for any listeners that missed
it.
And then give us the update.
For any of the listeners or people watching this.
Believers.
For the believers. What was it, a week and a half ago, I told the story right here to Mike about this, like a trampoline park called Urban Air in Omaha, how there was an employee there, was real mean to my kid, hurt her feelings, made her cry, and it was just a big old disaster. So I told that story. I had posted about it on Instagram about 3 days before that, and really, I was just venting and whatever, and didn't hear anything about it. So then I tell the story to you here, and the next day, the owner reaches out, you know, the people that had heard that episode, and they had sent her email after email and called the location repeatedly and had crushed the business on Google reviews and just demolished their social media page. And honestly, it was a fantastic conversation. She doesn't live in Omaha. She owns it, but she lives in Kansas City, which is about 3 hours away. So, she was embarrassed. I could almost hear the redness in her face over the phone. She was really, really polite, really sweet. And you know, that's kind of how we left it. You know, she apologized. She was very, very sorry. I believe she fired that employee from what I gathered. So that girl, that employee was gone right away. Which is, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm not trying to have anyone lose their job. I just told a story. Like I just told it because that's what you and I do. It's two friends. We talk about what happened over the weekend. That was one of the main things that happened. So, and then a couple of days later, you know, she asked me to, you know, she wanted me to post and let everyone know that I had talked to her and that she was a sweet lady and whatever, because they weren't stopping. They were just, you know, it's a passionate bunch of people here, and goddamn, I really appreciate it. So I guess that's really it. That's kind of how we left it.
Well, that was nice. Nice that she called you. I mean, of course, you know, one could argue if you wanted to play devil's advocate or devil's avocado, as we say, she was trying to look out for a business. But at the end of the day, and you're not, I know you're not, no one's trying to get anybody to lose the job. That's not what's going on here. But the sad reality is that your daughter felt awful that day. So as a father, you're furious, you know, and we vent on here. We talk about whatever nonsense we get up to. Hey, it's a shame that someone had to lose their job, but listen, let's be honest. They're working at the fucking bounce house. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a career she wasn't a trainee lawyer. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Whoever it is, they'll be okay. And we wish you the best of luck, but lessons learned, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to. I just told it just because I was pissed about it. And that's what I like, you know, I can't wait to tell Mike about this shit. And that was it. That was as far as I wanted it to go. And I didn't for a second expect that, you know, people were going to be as, I mean, these people are as angry as I am. And I just think that's goddamn cool. I think that's fucking cool.
And they've never even met your daughter. Do you know what I mean? Right. But they're as angry as you are. That's amazing. Well, thank you to the believers. We appreciate you. Let me ask you this, Anthony, and maybe this is a little controversial. We won't keep you too long. I said 5 minutes. I might try and drag 7 or 8 out of you. You never know. I don't want to be controversial, but this grinds my gears. Every time I go to Disneyland, the people in the wheelchairs, Now listen. If you have a condition, if you cannot walk for a length of time, if you can't walk, be in a wheelchair, go to the front of the line. But when I see able-bodied people and they're too lazy and they just sit in the wheelchairs and they go to the front of the line, that it doesn't grind my gears. It makes my fucking blood boil because we're all standing in the line. Talk to me about the wheelchair experience, Anthony. What is happening?
Yeah, so I got this. I got to look around first.
Oh, shit. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting thrown off.
Yeah, no, you're good. I got this thing that I've been doing in a group text with some of my like friends back home in my neighborhood. And I've been adding like things that I've noticed throughout the days that have been driving me crazy about being here. So that was the last one that I put on my list. The first one, apparently when you're in Disney World, do not hand your significant other your drink. I don't know what it is about being in Disney World, but at least a dozen times I've seen either a husband or a wife hand that their significant other like a drink so they can do something else. And literally these people are like, I don't got any fucking hands. What are you doing? Put it somewhere. Like the fights that I've seen over like someone trying to hand someone else a drink is hilarious. The second one, I have never seen so many nipples, free range titties, camel toe, and like spandex bodysuits in my whole life. I don't know what it is. Like maybe they should market this shit to like,
it is the happiest place on earth after all.
They should market that. They should use that material and they would really capture that single man demographic that they're missing. And the last one was the motorized little scooter things where it's just several able-bodied, totally normal seemingly people just riding around on these goddamn, I get it. It sucks. You know, I walked around all day just blazing hot. Like I would love to be on one of those too, but I feel like that's kind of saved for the people that actually need them. And then they get right to the front of the fucking line. It's the craziest shit.
My mom, whenever she comes to visit, she can't walk. So whenever she comes, we're like, Mom, we're going to Disneyland. She goes, I don't want to come to Disneyland. I said, you're fucking coming to Disneyland because we can go to the front of the line, okay? And that's probably why she never wants to visit anymore. She's like, fuck going out there. They just dragged me to Disneyland. That's the only thing they want me for.
Well, my mom's the same way. Like, she doesn't get around very well. So, and she doesn't even like to be in the wheelchair because she's like, I'm walking around in this fucking wheelchair. Like, she just feels like shit about it. So I can't imagine. My wife keeps saying we should just rent like four of them fucking things and just cruise around.
Just have a great old time.
Yeah,
just,
she said, everyone else fucking does it. Why not?
I'm saying that you need about 20 of them with your family.
I know, I got too fucking many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of you.
Could you imagine all my big ass kids rolling around running people's ankles and shit over with these little motorized scooters?
That would be hilarious.
You'd be thrown out of here in a couple days.
Oh, that's a thumbnail waiting to happen. All of us just on electric motors, whatever they call them, scooters.
That's
whatever,
it right there. Wheelchair.
That's the thumbnail.
Nipples and free range titties. That's gonna be the name of it.
That's not a bad one actually. Nipples and free range titties featuring Anthony Smith. UFC 273 this weekend. Real quick before we let you go, and we'll let you get back to your vacation. And again, appreciate you, bud. Khamzat versus Burns. We were just discussing him right then. How do you see that one going down, bud?
Man, I, you know, as much as we talked about Chimaev, maybe he's, you know, he hasn't been tested. He hasn't been pushed. Like maybe the nightmare stories that you hear are true. And I really think that at his size, I think he's going to be able to stay safe on his feet. Obviously, Burns is a kind of a wild card up there because he does have power in his hands. But, I mean, what's Khamzat? Like 121 to one strike differential, something stupid like that? I mean, he's been hit one time in his whole career. I just find it hard to believe that a man that's gone through four fights or whatever he has in the UFC only been hit one time is going to get knocked out. So, you know, I really think that, especially in MMA these days, guys are so good at not getting caught, you know, in submissions from the guard or from the top position. I just think that I think Chimaev's going to take him down. He's going to wear him out. It's going to be really tough, especially with the size difference, and for Gilbert Burns to try to catch him in something crazy. I really do. So my money is on Chimaev, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Gilbert Burns pull something crazy out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't underestimate Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, you can't count him out. But my money would be on Chimaev if we're talking about hard dollars.
Same here. One thing that stood out to me, and again, this is no disrespect to Gilbert. I would never disrespect Gilbert. He's came on this show many, many times. Hopefully we'll have him again soon. And no disrespect to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But if Stephen Thompson could go three rounds and avoid the submission threat, and a lot of that fight was on the ground, you know what I mean? If if Wonderboy can do that, I'm pretty sure Chimaev can. Now, every fight's different. It's always a different, unique set of circumstances. We know that. But still, that stands out in my mind. And I think on the feet, he has the advantage. He's faster. He's taller. He's longer. He's got the hype. He's got the momentum.
And he's the size of a middleweight, you know, and Burns is coming up from 55. We can't forget it. He was a 55 for the majority of his career. So you got a 55er who just couldn't make it anymore. And you got an 85er who tossed around one of the bigger guys in Jack Hermanson in a wrestling match. So
correct.
They're literally three-way classes apart, probably.
All right. Real quick, main event, Volkanovski, Korean Zombie. What do we say?
Yeah, I love me some Korean Zombie, man. I love everything about that guy. I love his style, his career. That said, I think it's an easy night for Volkanovski. We know he can strike because he's been in there with guys like Max Holloway and won a lot of those exchanges. And you know, even as it, you know, Brian Ortega is as good as they come, and as far as his boxing, and he was fine there. And after being in some of those deep, deep submissions and the trouble he was in and as much time as he spent on the ground with someone like Brian Ortega, that's just not a guy you're going to submit. That's just, it's not going to happen. So props to the Korean Zombie for stepping up and being that guy that the UFC knows they can call. But I really think that Volkanovski is the truth. I think he's as good as everyone says he is and possibly better.
And then lastly, on Aljamain and Piotr Jan, give us your quick opinion there, if you don't mind.
Man, I always feel like people are always giving me shit because they always think I'm shitting all over Aljo. Me and Aljo are friendly. We got the same manager. Like, I don't have any problems with
Aljo. Aljo's awesome.
I love Aljo. I just, if we haven't seen him in a long time. So all I have to go off of is his last fight, which was possibly the worst version of Aljo I've ever seen in my whole time breaking out fights and broadcasting. Just looked terrible. He didn't have his feet under him. He looked super uncomfortable. You know, maybe that was a weight cut issue or whatever, but I just think that Jan has just too many tools and Aljo really only has, you know, one or two ways to win this fight. And I think he shut him down pretty handedly, you know, going into the second half of that fight. Now, the first half of the fight was pretty even. And I would even venture to say that maybe Aljo won those rounds, but it didn't look like, it looked more like Jan was more trying to find his footing and kind of figure his, you know, his timing and stuff out. It didn't look super dominant. Just Piotr Jan has just looked fantastic. I don't know how Aljo wins. I guess that's what I'm getting at. If he wins, I don't know how that happens. Is he going to take him down repeatedly and hold him there for five rounds? I just don't think Piotr Jan is that guy. You know, I think at the end, by the time the fight was over, I think the takedowns were even. Yeah. So I just don't know how he wins.
All right. Let me ask you, what's the best ride you've been on so far?
The Avatar ride. Oh man, it's like one of those video rides where you don't actually go anywhere.
So it's a simulator.
Yeah, it's a simulator. It is goddamn crazy. It was enough to where like my stomach was dropping and we never moved. It was crazy.
Yeah, no. There's a Simpsons one at Universal Studios. I don't know if you've been on that, but that's good. That's really good. Dinner tonight. Where are you guys eating?
I have no idea. We're going to Disney. What the hell is it called? I don't know. A different resort. We're going to some different resort.
All right.
So we're going to go check that out. Have a good
life. The life of multiple resorts.
I know, but then after.
Doesn't know where he's eating. So many choices.
I know.
So many rides. So many podcasts. I mean, come on.
After this, though, you know, I actually typed out a tweet to the believers because there were so many of them that were so upset. And I was like, nah, I'll just wait till I talk to them. Nah. Like, after this, you know, I had a lot of obligations when you decided to bring me on. So. After this, I'm pretty much clear. So, you know, I've been taking a lot of the brunt, but I think you need to tell everybody that a lot of this has been your fault up to this point.
Hey. I'll own it. Monday was my fault. We could have done a show. However, I was on a plane and someone actually came out and tweeted, oh, he's forgotten where we started and all that. I'm like,
I seen that.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm on a plane all day long. My obligations as a father and a provider come first, as do yours. So my brother, thank you for taking out a few minutes. We appreciate it. Everyone loves to see your face on here. We'll be back next week. Clockwork. Don't you worry about it. All right, enjoy the rest of your trip, man. Have fun with the wife and kids.
Brian Harrington, keep him under control.
Yeah. Hold on, Harrington. Tell him something. I don't know. Chime in, guys.
Hey. How in God's name am I going to do that, Ant?
I you know what? I don't know, but you're going to have to fucking figure it out, okay? Get your shit together. Team up with Brian.
Says the guy together. Hanging out in the pool crushing Bush Lights. I mean,
I can't right now, okay? So the burden is on you guys. Okay? Keep this on the rails.
Come on.
Don't try. I want a Bush Light, though. Andy, right? You're the man.
Later, bros.
Take it easy, brother. Bye bye. There he is on family vacation. Oh, bless him. I'll tell you what, not a bad camera and microphone from the iPhone, though. My God, the technology on those things is crazy. I appreciate him jumping on there. I just said, because I know he's on his family holiday, but I was like, if you could join us for a few minutes, I think people would get a kick out of it. He was like, yeah, no problem. No problem. So that was nice. He'll be back Monday, of course, and we'll be back like clockwork. And hopefully we'll have time to get two shows a week in for at least a little period of time before my next spell of madness comes
whirlwind
upon
tour.
Us. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so where were we? Hamza Chimaev. We were talking about that. Yeah, so, listen, as I just said, if Wonderboy can fight off the submissions, I think Chimaev can. And I just think it's the confidence. On top of everything else, the way he carries himself, it's infectious. It intimidates the opponents. McGregor had the same thing. Now, don't get me wrong. McGregor just didn't have confidence. McGregor could fight. You know, he had power. He had skill. You know, he had determination and focus and drive and a work ethic and all that stuff. But when you're so supremely confident, it makes people doubt themselves. And I think that's partly why we're seeing Hamzat be so successful. But I was just watching that fight that he had with the Leech last time out, Li Jingliang. You know, he picks up the Leech and he talks to Dana. That wasn't like a quick second. Hey, and then it was like 7 seconds long. Do you know what I mean? And the Leech is like kicking, like a little kid trying to get put down by his parents. You know what I mean? When you pick up your kid, it's all being naughty. I know you're not a father, but you must, you know, getting the kids squirming and you're just like holding it under. Right, that's it. You're going to bed. That's
I have a cat. I know what that's like.
Yeah, meow. Exactly. Exactly. Give me your best cat noise. Meow, meow. Oh, God. No, give me a cat in distress. Ooh, ooh. Oh, don't do that again. All right. So anyway,
I did see an interesting thing, right? Couple things. First, Gilbert Burns talked about this in the countdown show leading up to it. He's like, I remember what it was like going in undefeated, feeling like you're unbeatable, like you've got, you know, like you're on a fast track to the title and no one can stop you. And I took that loss. I know what that's like. Hamzat has no clue what that's like. He's got no clue what's on the other side of that confidence when it all falls out. So Gilbert is pretty confident going in, you know, at least with that in his tool belt. I saw something kind of interesting. I think it was on the UFC Reddit this morning. Which would you be more shocked by? Gilbert knocking out Hamzat or Hamzat submitting Gilbert?
I'd be more shocked at Gilbert knocking out Hamzat. Because if Hamzat knocks out Gilbert, we've seen him do it to Jeremy Chart. I've seen him on the pads. I've seen the speed. You know, he's got great rotation. So that wouldn't be overly shocking. Gilbert knocking out Hamzat, it wouldn't be that shocking. That wouldn't be that shocking. But the point, to answer your question, Hamzat submitting Gilbert on paper would be shocking, but we've seen him do that. We've seen that's his style. We've seen that he likes to take people down and maul them on the ground. We've seen him submit multiple people now. So to get another one, sure, against a guy like Gilbert, that would by far be the biggest feather in his cap. But he has shown that to be his MO. He has shown that that's the way he likes to fight. And submitting somebody in an MMA fight is very different from jiu-jitsu. Like when he fought Li Jingliang, the last one, by far his best opponent yet, Jingliang was doing a good job of defending. But what Hamzat was doing, he was controlling the wrists. He was like lacing the arms, controlling the wrists. And then with the other hand, just smashing away at the face. Not massive shots, but just little boom, boom, boom. And they're distracting shots. You know what I mean? Yeah, they hurt. They're not going to knock you out. They hurt. They disorientate you and they throw you off. And then all of a sudden, you're worrying about those punches because they're bothersome, more than bothersome. But you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, shump, you lace the arm under the throat. And that's what he did. And it took him a couple of minutes to do that. You know what I mean? But to do that in MMA, to get a submission when you use the ground and pound to set it up, like someone that's skilled like Hamzat, it won't be that shocking, you know? So, but we never know, right? Gilbert Burns fucking almost knocked out Usman in the first round, right? Let's not forget that. But I've just got a feeling that he's going to do it again.
I'd also like to make the point that literally every single person Gilbert Burns has fought at welterweight would beat every single person Hamzat Chimaev has fought at welterweight.
Hold on. Say that again.
So like everyone who Gilbert Burns has beaten at welterweight would beat everyone who Hamzat has beaten at welterweight.
Without doubt. Rhys McKee, John Phillips, and Gerald Meerschaert. Oh, no. Meerschaert was 185. Li Jingliang. Yeah, right. So Burns, who's he beaten? Wonderboy?
Wonderboy, Damian Maya. Tyron Woodley, when Tyron Woodley was Tyron Woodley. Gunnar Nelson. And it's Alexei Konchenko, yeah.
And Alexei Konchenko is the shit. He never panned out so much in the UFC, but he had a massive reputation, a great striker, good takedown defense. And that was a hell of a fight, by the way, Gilbert Burns and Konchenko. Oh, yeah. I called that one. So you're right. That's actually a really good observation. I might steal that for a YouTube video later. But you're right. But you're right. All the opponents that Burns has beaten, to steal your point, would beat the opponents that Hamzat has. Interesting. And
Gilbert Burns is like a plus 410 underdog right now. So for me, I'm just looking at it from a value point of view. In my mind, I have to bet Gilbert Burns in this fight. I just have
to. So question, will you bet Gilbert Burns in this fight?
Oh, I already have.
Oh, you have? And how many dollars?
I got a free $50 bet from my sportsbook account, so I just threw that on him.
Nice. Well, for your sake, I hope he comes in. All right, yeah. My pick is Hamzat. I think he gets it done. What is your official pick, though? I know you're saying in terms of playing the odds, you think Hamzat?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am playing the odds with the Gilbert Burns thing. I mean, it's very tough for me, you know, to pick against the guy who, as you said, has only eaten one significant strike in his UFC career. But I mean, Gilbert Burns has literally only lost to Kamaru Usman after taking that man to the absolute brink. If anything, this is a coin flip to me. And if Hamzat comes out, I'll tell you this. If Hamzat comes out and does what he's done to everyone else, to Gilbert Burns, then yes, this guy is beyond a shadow of a doubt the next king at 170 and probably 185.
Yeah, because he's calling for 185 as well. He is calling for 185.
And he's talking a lot of crap about him too.
Yeah. And listen, no disrespect to Izzy. Izzy's incredible. I think that could be a stylistic, problematic matchup.
Oh, you mean a guy who really can wrestle you to the ground with power and keep you there?
A guy that can really wrestle. You know what I mean? A guy that was raised on wrestling. A guy that, brother, comes from the hills of Chechnya and I will wrestle the wolves down to the ground all day. Yeah, that guy. That's going to be a problem. A guy that's 6'2". A guy that can strike and bang and isn't scared. Now, of course, Izzy. You know, he's a great striker. Anyway, that's disrespectful to Izzy, though. Izzy's the champ for a goddamn reason. We're going to get into the other two fights in a little bit. But what else? What's another little fun one we've got here? What do we have?
I mean, you know which one I'm going to pick.
Which one are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick my boy, Mickey Gall.
What's going on with Mickey Gall?
Mickey Gall's fighting a gentleman by the name of Mike Malott, who's making his debut. He got an impressive win on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, got himself a contract, and now he's making his actual UFC debut against the man, Mickey Gall.
Well, that's great for Mickey Gall. We've just lost half the fucking audience, haven't we? I'm joking.
That's
Mickey's
my boy.
The
man. I ride with him.
Yeah, no, I'm rightly so. No, Mickey is one of the nicest guys, a class act, and he's doing well, but I don't know fuck all about his opponent. So we're moving on like a swiftly one. Ian Garrett, no. A Barstool employee pissed blood after eating a number of body shots from a bulked up Canelo. I saw the video. Why was Canelo bulked up? What makes you put that in?
He's going up to light heavyweight.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's just climbing on up the ladder. I think, you know, you remember when he was fighting Floyd Mayweather at like 154 pounds or whatever. He's just going up and up and up because he just wants to collect more belts. I think he just won super middleweight. Now he's, you know, trying his hand at light heavyweight. So he just keeps putting on the pounds.
Now, God bless him. God bless him. You know, speaking of Kamaru Usman, is this the video right here? Huh? Oh, let's take a look. And the impressive thing is he's a mean looking bastard, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Nice little cold sore on his lip, though.
No, it was probably just a carrot.
Yeah, it was a scalding carrot. It was.
Yeah, so look at this here. Wah, wah, boom. Boom.
Stop with the noises. Going. Yeah, he's got a nice rot. I mean, of course, he's one of the best boxers on the planet.
Right. He's against essentially a me.
And that's a good body shield as well. That will really absorb a lot of the power. And then afterwards, the guy was pissing blood. I mean, that's wild. Look at that. That's not good.
No.
When you pee blood, you've got a bit of an issue going on inside you.
What's the technical breakdown?
I don't know what the technical breakdown is, but he's burst something, that's for sure. He's burst a bloody blood vessel or a bloody, I don't know, that's about it. That's all I've got. No, I was going to say, Kamaru Usman, we were just talking about him a second ago, calling out to fight Canelo Alvarez. I mean, I love that Kamaru's doing that. I understand why he would do that. He's been extremely dominant in the MMA world. He wants one of those McGregor-Mayweather type paydays. And of course, he's getting better on the feet. He feels good. He's knocked out a few people. He's extremely dominant. seems like he can't be beaten. So I don't think that Kamaru's doing that simply because he doesn't believe it, but he wants the money. He's feeling his own hype right now. And rightly so. Pound for pound, number one guy on the planet. Hasn't lost in God knows how long. He's got one loss, right, I believe.
On the original scene.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, so he's confident, you know. But he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind.
I've seen a lot of people saying that. And I kind of like, you know, it's wild to go into another man's sport and you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm going to bring, you know, I'm going to go into his game and try to beat him. But, I mean, could he? Is it possible? Like, is there any
issue in
the world? No?
No shot. Floyd Mayweather played with Conor McGregor, right? Canelo does not fucking play at all. Canelo would fucking murder him in a 2-3 rounds max. The dude would not want to fight anymore if he could.
That's actually a good point, Brian. You're right, because, you know, yeah, Conor, you know, gave a good account of himself. Let's be honest. He went to the 10th round, was it? He landed that uppercut that got a lot of people very excited. But for the most part, Mayweather was kind of carrying him. He was putting a show on. There was even those videos came out where he was talking to his cornerman. Go on, Brian.
I wasn't talking shit about Conor, by the way. He did fucking put it on Mayweather a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit right at the start. Got a little excited. But yeah, listen. Hey, God bless Kamaru, though. I hope he gets it. I fucking hope he gets to fight Canelo. Canelo might do that anyway, just for pure fun. But we know who's not a fan of it, and that's Dana White. See, the problem is with Dana. I mean, yeah, okay, when Conor and Mayweather did that, it earned Conor, Mayweather, the UFC, because they were in on the deal, Paradigm Sports Management, Audi et al. You know, a lot of people made a shit ton, a big truck of money on that. So you would think that the UFC may be inclined to do it again. However, in terms of the public perception, maybe it damages the brand. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. You know what I'm saying? Would you want, if I had the UFC and I had my fighter and this was my number one guy, the pound for pound, would I want him to go get beat in another sport? I don't know if it would necessarily be damaging. Would it or would it not? I don't know. From in terms of public perception.
Yes, I think it would. I mean, because no matter what, you're always going to get. I mean, we saw it with these like goofball thriller events, right? Like everybody and their mother is going to base it as like MMA versus boxing. And that's just the way it is. So like for the layman, for the casual fan, for the public perception. Yeah. The people who tune in and buy one pay-per-view a year and it's Canelo versus Kamaru Usman, they're going to think less of the UFC if Kamaru Usman isn't able to come away with a win. Now, in the insane world where Kamaru Usman hits the one in a million dream shot and puts down Canelo Alvarez, now we're talking. That puts the UFC like leagues yeah, ahead of boxing.
Yeah, and it's not fair because like we say, we always talk about Jake Paul. Do you know what I mean? God bless him. Nothing against Jake Paul. Said this point a million times, so I'm not going to harp on it for long. He's not fighting guys in his own sport. He's not fighting boxers. Anyway.
Well, it's also like, dude, you wouldn't want to tie up the 170-pound title for, you know, a year and a half or whatever you would need to, right? Like, think about when Conor McGregor...
That's a point.
When he
But Kamaru wouldn't do that. Kamaru has had a... He's had a healthy work schedule.
Oh,
he
yeah.
really has, you know what I mean? He's a guy that is fighting frequently, beating people. I mean, he's got Leon Edwards in the summer, let's not forget. And if Khamzat wins, he's then got Khamzat. That's going to be a tough fight if he gets past Burns. The funny thing is that they're talking about doing Khamzat. Well, people aren't, but I'm hearing rumors of this. I'm seeing people ask Khamzat today at the press day. Did you see that? Where they said, would you fight Colby Covington in the number one contender matchup? Did you see that? And I was like, hold on a minute. Why would Colby, and I'm not hating on Colby, why would Colby in the number one contender matchup? Yeah, he just beat Masvidal. But prior to that, he lost twice in a row to Kamaru. I don't think he's earned a third shot at Kamaru just yet.
Well, I mean, both guys actually, you know, Gilbert Burns and Khamzat both said that off of a win, their next opponent, they would love to fight Colby Covington. I think Colby has just made it so that everybody wants to get their hands on him, right? His persona is working. And these guys who are rightfully in line for a title would put that on the back burner to get their hands on the man. I do believe that.
Yeah, and Colby's also talking about going up to 185 and fighting Izzy as well. You know, I see a little eye roll from me there, Harrington.
I mean, Colby does not strike me as the largest guy at 170. I mean, he's getting dwarfed by the champion there. So to go up to 185 is like, you know, this feels like a lot more of the Colby nonsense.
And Adesanya is gigantic for 185. Yes, a very lean, stick-like figure, but still knows how to use that frame very, very well.
Well, you were asking before why everybody wants to fight Colby. He's still ranked one or two, right? Like, a win over Colby puts you in a title fight.
But just talk. You're right. You're absolutely right, Brian. 100%. There's without question, Colby's one of the big names in the division, and he's very, very popular. You know, and he brings a lot of excitement. You know, that fight with Masvidal. Yeah, okay. It was, you know, there was a lot of grappling. But you fight.
Wait, which one?
Oh, the second one. The second one with Masvidal. The one we just saw. Oh, you're talking about the one in the streets.
Poppy Steaks. Yeah.
Yeah, Pappy Steakhouse. Yeah. No, but you know what I mean? He did what he needed to do to win. However, in that second fight with Kamaru Usman, towards the end, the second half of the fight, Covington was having success on the feet because I had to break it down for ESPN and I had to pull some, you know, we do these little clips and I have to highlight certain parts that I want to talk about. And, you know, I have to give timestamps from like round three, this combination here from 4 minutes 10 seconds to 4 minutes 47 seconds and then give a little technical analysis on it. And there was quite a lot. There was quite a lot. The point that I'm making is, to go back to earlier, if Covington was having success on the feet against Kamaru, then Jesus Christ, Canelo Alvarez would. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, let's be honest here. Do you know what I mean? There is levels to this game. Anyway, all right, I'm going to tell you about Manscaped and their vast variety of products. Listen, it's spring. Spring has sprung. The carpets need cleaning. The drapes need dusting. And your lawn needs mowing. And yes, of course, when it comes to Manscaped, we ain't talking about the garden. We're talking about the crown jewels, the franken beans down below. It's time to take care of that and clean it out. You want to look sharp. You want to look clean. You want to be hygienic. And you want to be nice and sexy for your significant other. Now, Manscaped 4.0 is the best way to go. Listen, the technology every year just gets better and better. And of course, they now have a bunch of other products that will go along with it. They have the Weed Whacker for that nose and ear hair. Love that one. I really do. Use it a lot. After cleaning your nose hair, make sure to get rid of that foul bowl smell, Harrington, with the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. The Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. Keep your boys from sticking to your leg and have them smelling like fresh flowers all day long. Like you're walking through the garden in spring, that will remind people of what your balls smell like. Or maybe not. Finish off your grooming routine with the Plow 2.0, the perfect razor for the finest shave on your face. Because if you're using your lawnmower 4.0 on your balls and on your face, then you're doing it wrong. Now, on a serious note, the start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April. Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. Very, very important. Manscaped is committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35 and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of the We Save Balls initiative. Smell also fresh and clean this spring and check yourself before you wreck yourself. Listen, this is the way to trim your below the waist area or your nose or your face. Realistically, Manscaped, they really are cornering the market. Go to the website, take a look at everything they've got, manscaped.com. Be sure to use the code Bisping20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Bisping20 at manscaped.com. Throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life today. Manscaped.com, Bisping20. Now, UFC 273, we talked about Gilbert Burns and Khamzat Chimaev. We'll work our way up to the two title fights. Sadly, Kelvin Gastelum, poor guy. What happened there? Did his opponent get injured?
So he had an opponent get injured, and then he found a replacement in like just a couple of days. But I think as of April 1st, he like posted a video and said, hey, I wish this was an April Fool's joke, but I got to pull out of this fight, right? Like
poor guy.
He had an undisclosed injury himself, so that sucks.
I feel for Gastelum. He's having a tough run right now. It's great fights, fighting the best, but he needs a break, you know, because he's still a solid fighter. And he's a great guy, so I wish him the best. Ian Garry, he's coming back. He's got his second fight in the UFC. He had a beautiful knockout at UFC 268. Darian Weeks, it's a good opponent for him. I've got Ian Garry there, mate. And then opening the main card, so we have – Vince Michelle versus Mike Madsen. We'll skip that one and we'll go to Mackenzie Dern, Tisha Torres. How do you see that, Harrington?
I mean, you know, very simply, I've met Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern is a very sweet and nice person. So there is never a time you will hear me pick against Mackenzie Dern.
Mackenzie Dern is awesome, as you know. She's just the best of her husband, the little kid. She's got such a great attitude and she clicks with Jason Perillo so well. Of course, last time out, she was against Marina Rodriguez. That was a tough night at the office for her. You know, showed a lot of heart. It was a close-ish fight, but Rodriguez was the clear winner. But, you know, Dern, she had a lot of good moments in it, but that sadly snapped a five-fight win streak for her. If she'd have beaten, you know, Rodriguez, she'd have been in line for a title shot pretty soon. However, you learn as you go along, you get better every time out. Tisha Torres, the tiny tornado, tiny by name, tiny by nature. What she does, though, she moves a lot. Great footwork, moves around all of that octagon. This is a pay-per-view. It's a gigantic, massive octagon. And you know, the apex, it's the smaller octagon. But this is how much smaller. Each panel of the octagon is 5 foot shorter at the one at the apex. Do you know what I mean? So if you were able to do that math, it's a hell of a lot less square footage.
It's 5 feet on each one?
Each panel of the octagon, and it's an octagon, so there's eight sides.
Eight sides, yeah.
Is 5 foot shorter than the big cage.
40 feet of area?
You're losing 40 feet of perimeter area. So I don't know what that equates to square footage in the octagon. You know, I'm sure one of our believers could tell us that. I mean, that's a difficult mathematical equation. That at this moment in time, I'm just tired. It's the jet lag. That's all it is. Typically, I'd figure this out.
Oh, actually, it says not they use a standard size now.
They don't. Wikipedia is wrong. Trust me. I'm there every week.
I'm on a unreputable martial arts website right now.
Stay off it, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only reputable sites shall be quoted on this podcast. Anyway, Tisha moves a lot. Beautiful kicks. She's a great fighter. Tisha really is. This will be a fun matchup. I've got Mackenzie Dern winning now. She wants to beat the record that Charles Oliveira currently holds, having the most submissions in the UFC. I think he's on 14 or 15. Maybe even 16 now because he's still racking away after Dustin Poirier. And yeah, anyway, I got Mackenzie Dern. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it here. I'm seeing Tisha was on a 4-fight losing streak before wins against Brianna Van Buren, Sam Hughes, and
good competition, though, that she lost to.
Right. Marina Rodriguez, Weili, Joanna, and Jessica. So it's like, you know, best. It seems like there's, you know, like a limit to Tisha Steele. You know what I mean? Like, and I
of course there is. She can't fucking she can't get on half the rides at Disneyland.
I
mean,
I do.
There's definitely a limit to the tiny tornado ceiling.
I do tornado. Think that, you know, I do think Mackenzie is a legitimate, you know, top five and competitor in that division and a legitimate threat for the title. And I think that's the kind of opponent that Tisha Torres unfortunately just can't get past. So I think Mackenzie gets it done here.
No, and you're absolutely right. You bring up a good point there because this isn't just us fanboying on Mackenzie because of my association with her down at the Ruka gym. You know, of course, I would be inclined to lean that way and support her, you know, just put that kind of energy, mental energy out there into the atmosphere. But she's great. She's so committed. She works so hard. She's getting better and better all the time at striking. Wrestling's getting better. And of course, the jiu-jitsu is world-class. Anyway, my voice is starting to go again. I wonder why shouting into a fucking microphone. Right. Aljamain Sterling, Piotr Jan. This, I don't know what to make of this. What do you think? What do you think, boys?
We've seen this before. Piotr Jan, I believe, is going to beat the brakes off of him this time. And I know the last time I said those exact words, I was absolutely wrong. But I don't see Aljamain Sterling beating Piotr Jan.
Well, this fight was over a year ago. One significant thing to remember is that for that last year, and by the way, you know, it started off somewhat even, but by the end of that fight, Piotr Jan had found his timing, he'd found the rhythm, he seemed to have an answer for everything that Aljamain had. And he was, even then, beating the brakes off him. And then he kneed him in the face and fucked up.
That now, slam Robert, was vicious.
Yeah, now some beautiful foot sweeps. You know, they're not traditional takedowns. It was just skilled finesse.
Sunny you know Sun I mean? Takedowns. He was employing. It was like what a teacher does in class.
That's a good way of putting it, because he was schooling him. He was schooling him. You know, he was out timing him. He was just pimping him out there towards the end. Robert Whittaker came out and said an interesting statement on this fight. I don't know if you saw it. He said, Aljamain isn't the champ because he didn't beat Piotr Jan. Piotr Jan lost the title because he got disqualified. And I thought, oh, I can see the logic in that. However, I'm not going to take that away from Aljamain. Aljamain's a great guy, and he has fueled the haters, so to speak. He's lived up to this. He's gone full heel. He's talking a lot of shit. Did you see that Piotr Jan said today, when he sees Aljamain and his team, it's on site. Did you see that?
Well, I didn't see that, but that's an insane thing to say. Like, you're going to jump his team at the press conference? No, you're not.
He said, Piotr Jan,
before.
He's a crazy Russian, bro. I don't know if you see what's going on in Ukraine. They don't give a fuck, okay? I'm not making jokes about that situation, heaven forbid. No, he said when he sees his team, it's on site. So Aljamain, of course, said, hey, listen, I don't give a fuck. He said, if you want, I'll tell you my hotel room and you can come and see me. And I felt like going, Aljo, don't say that. Don't do that. Because I know you're like, you know, you're posturing for the fight, but you're probably, you and all your teammates. I mean, Ray Longo is fucking awesome, but he's a little bit over the hill. Do you know what I mean? Ray Longo's got a great accent. He's got an in-depth knowledge of the fight game. But you put him up against some crazy in their prime Russians? I don't know. I think you're all going to get battered.
Yeah, that could be a bit of an issue. That's wild to me. Like, that is probably now my favorite subplot heading into this week, is like the amount of media and times they are going to need to just be in the same room as each other. If Piotr Jan is real about this being on site, watch his ass get disqualified before the fight this time.
Did you see Aljamain was posting rule book for MMA rule book for dummies?
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, it was. He's playing up to it. And you know what? I'll say this. I hope Aljamain can do it. I don't know Piotr Jan. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. You know, but I've never met him. Just when you have a relationship with somebody, you kind of lean towards that person. Aljamain has been nothing but cool. He's a great guy. You know, throughout the years, I bump into him a lot. He's good. But I just think it's, the odds are stacked against him. For the 13 months that has passed since that first fight, Aljamain's been having surgery. He's been doing rehab and recovery. And yeah, now, okay, he's ready to go. And on the flip side, Piotr Jan's been training away this whole time. He's been active. He beat Corey Sandhagen in a very, very dominating. And again, he got style points in that fight as well. He looked on fire, you know. So that layoff, the time away from the octagon, the psychological scarring that will be there from all the trash talk and the bullshit, not only from the fans, but from, you know, Piotr Jan and all his team and all the rest of it. He's going into a very tough situation. I think for Aljamain to win, it's going to come down to the wrestling, right? Just like he did against Corey Sandhagen, try and take the back as he's trying to get back to his feet. But it has to be a wrestling-heavy approach from Aljamain.
Well, I mean, you know, devil's avocado here, right? You said, like, you know, Piotr Jan had the fight against Corey Sandhagen in there. Like, you know, Aljamain Sterling, outside of the surgeries and the rehabbing, has spent 13 months knowing all full well his next opponent will be Piotr Jan. Now, you said that it was kind of close in the beginning. I looked up the stats on it because I remember it being kind of one-way traffic there. Aljamain Sterling outstruck Piotr Jan 27-14 in the first round, 17-10 in the second round. Granted, it was, you know, off of 110 strikes thrown over those two rounds. And I think that has a lot to do with Aljamain, you know, kind of sapping the gas tank there, just throwing so many shots at him so early. But I mean, Piotr Jan is known to be a bit of a slow starter, right? And like, I do think there is a world in which Aljamain Sterling says, all right, I've been in there with this guy before. I know he gets stronger as the fight goes on. I need to finish this one early and just come out there like a house on fire and get this thing done in the first. I kind of see it being a possibility.
It is a possibility. And that's a good point that you bring up there, you know. And by the way, just because he threw 110 strikes, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? That's called having a high output. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with having a high output. However, to your point, it probably did cost him in the later rounds because you got to be a little more, you got to be more efficient with your energy, you know, to quote a famous person. That said, I've got Piotr Jan because the fight started off well for Aljamain, but it was trending towards Jan. But I hope he does it. I just simply because he's had to endure such bullshit. He can't go on social media without thousands of people putting that clown emoji and talking shit. All right. And he's welcomed some of it upon him. Do you know what I mean? But he's got a 4-inch reach advantage. Speaking of Ray Longo, he's a tremendous striking coach. Matt Serra, when it comes to jiu-jitsu and MMA experience, one of the best in the game, you know. And Aljamain, I don't think he's faking it. He does believe in himself, you know. And he is the champ. And he did choke out Corey Sandhagen way quicker and finish him when Piotr Jan went to a decision, wasn't it? Not that
and got match. Outstruck by Sandhagen by 20 strikes in that fight.
Yeah. No, exactly. So it's not crazy, but still, I think Jan wins it. But I wouldn't be surprised, and I do hope that Aljamain pulls it off. That brings us to the main event, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, because I'm going to let my voice rest. No, I'm not. Volkanovski, Chang Sung Jung, the Korean zombie. Right? Tell me, I struggle. I mean, listen, the zombie's tough as fuck. There's a reason why they call him that. He's got very, very good jiu-jitsu. You know, he's got a good, well-rounded skill set. But I fail really to identify an area in which he's going to beat Volkanovski here. Volkanovski's just on such a run right now, such momentum, and he isn't resting on his laurels. He's not a guy that's the champ and he's dominating opponents, or well, maybe not dominating, but, you know, he's a dominating champion. He's defended the belt a number of times now. Beat Max Holloway twice. That's an incredibly hard thing to do. Whether or not you think the score was bullshit, the fact that he was able to pull it off on the judges' scorecards on two occasions is insane. So my question to you, Harrington, is how does the Korean zombie win this fight?
I mean, the one path to victory I could see is if Volkanovski is 100% looking past this fight, right, and is just gearing up for that, you know, next Max Holloway fight. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, there, it's weird to me. Like, I think about the one fight he's had outside of Max Holloway on his title run. It was Brian Ortega. And that's when I saw him in the most trouble, right? Like, in that guillotine in mount where, you know, it looked like his head was about to pop off or he was about to go out. And instead, like, he just endured. He never found himself in that bad of a position against anybody other than Max Holloway. So it's like, you know, there's two folds to this, right? One, looking past Korean Zombie. And two, maybe Volkanovski's style is just picture perfect tailored to beat Max Holloway, right? And the Korean Zombie just brings something slightly different like Brian Ortega did, and he can close that gap that was right there, right? He was this close to losing the title to Brian Ortega. Maybe Korean Zombie can close that gap. That's all I can think of.
No. And that's solid. It is. Because there is a possibility. I don't think there will be. I don't think it'll happen. But because he was fighting Max Holloway for a third time, that is going to get your engine revving. That is going to get you out of bed early, going for the runs, hiring the best nutritionist, the sports psychologist, whatever it is. You're like, shit, here we go again, right? Because if I don't win the third one with Holloway, the first two wins are eradicated, you know, because a lot of people are probably talking shit. I know I said to his face afterwards, I had to as a man, I said it on air, so I had to say it to his face that I thought Holloway beat him. But I didn't say it in an insulting way. I thought they were razor close. And I said on air that if I was to give it to someone, I would have given it to Max. So at the post-fight show, I said, Alex, I said, I've got to say it to your face because I said it on there and you're going to see it. And if I don't mention it to your face now, you're going to think I'm a pussy, right? And he respected it. But still, the point I'm making is that the third fight with Max, as I say, if he was to lose that, it kind of eradicates the first two wins. So you know he was going crazy. But then all of a sudden, boom, oh, you're now fighting Korean Zombie. Maybe there was a slight adrenaline dump where he's like, oh, okay, oh, God, oh, fucking hell, mate. I got this one in the bag. You know what I mean? Nah, you're all right, mate. I won't fucking, don't need you. You know, I got this. I don't think so. The man loves the
5 a.m. run turns into a 7 a.m. run.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did a 5 a.m. run once in my life. Do you know what I mean? I was like, why? I can go at 7 and still make it to the gym in time. I don't think he will. He likes the lifestyle of a champion. He's earning good money. He's world famous. He's getting the recognition. I mean, the man, what is his record? I think he's got one loss, right? Is he 23-1?
I believe that's correct. I'll check right now.
Yeah, 23-1. I mean, that is a hell of a record. And the people that he's beaten, let's just have a quick look. It was Ortega, Max Holloway twice, Jose Aldo, knocked out Chad Mendes, Darren Elkins. All right, and then it starts going down there, but that was when he was just making his way in the UFC. I mean, what a run. 23-1. I really enjoy the Korean Zombie. I just don't see him getting the job done here. I think it's going to be another decision, though, for Volkanovski, because the Zombie's shown he's tough. I mean, that fight he had with, who was it? Yair Rodriguez. Holy shit, what a fight that was, you know? And then, you know, at the end, he got caught with that up elbow.
He was dominating.
Yeah, beat Dan Ige last time out. Lost to Brian Ortega by decision, but Ortega won that one pretty handily. Anyway, you know,
That was also a weird one because Ortega came in. You were expecting the ground threat, and Ortega had just like worked on his stand-up game. So it's like that's one where I give Korean Zombie a bit of a pass because I think he went into that fight expecting a much different fight from Brian Ortega.
Yeah, you're right. But Ortega took, something like 2 years or best part of 2 years away, came back, kind of reinvented himself and looked fantastic. So anyway, there's our picks. That is UFC 273, wherever you are. If you want to copy our picks, go ahead. I hope you make some money. All right, I want to talk to you quickly about masterworks.io. Look, listen, lots of people are investing in all kinds of cryptocurrencies and all that. But did you know a lot of people, a lot of smart people, a lot of very, very wealthy people like Oprah Winfrey, they are investing in art. And recently I found that Oprah Winfrey sold one of those artworks for over $150 million to some anonymous Chinese dude. And she raked him $60 million in profit. Think about that for a moment. I mean, come on, what are we doing with our lives? When Oprah's rolling in that paint money, and the more I look into it, the crazier it becomes. Because the Mona Lisa, that appreciated by 2,000,000% or something crazy like that. So can you believe that? From 30,000. To $867 million. Well, for some of you savvy investors out there, if you want to start investing in famous artworks without being Rolex rich, then you need to go to visit masterworks.io and use the promo code BELIEVE. Okay. Listen, you know, you could be out there, cryptocurrencies, little stocks and trades. There's a lot of things that people are trying to invest in. But now for one of the first times, you can invest in very, very famous pieces of art and you can tag along for the ride and rake in some of those riches when it gets sold and passes hands. So, as I say, you want to know about the regulation? All disclosure is available at masterworks.io/CD. But for you to take part in this, go to masterworks.io, use the promo code BELIEVE, okay? Start investing in famous artwork. Start being alongside Oprah Winfrey as a business partner today. Put away that Dogecoin. Forget about your cryptocurrencies and let's invest in Van Gogh's, Mona Lisa's, and I can't think of a third famous artist because I'm a fucking knucklehead. Masterworks.io, promo code BELIEVE. There you go. Do we have any questions, Brian, to finish off?
We sure do. We got a couple of questions up here.
They better not be all Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith, we love you. We love you, Anthony. You're the best. We don't even need Bisping anymore.
That'd be so funny if we saved all of the, like, hey, what's up, Anthony Smith questions for the episode that Anthony's not
You
on.
Should do that. You should do that.
Well, then you might be a little upset about this first one.
So upset. Oh, my God. It is. It's Anthony Smith with AIDS.
What's up, BYM crew? Marco here from Miami.
Got it now.
Since you wanted an under-minute video, I'm not going to praise you and kiss your ass and tell you how good job you are doing because you're all dickheads, of course, except Anthony. So, first question. Don't you think how disrespectful odds are towards Gilbert Burns against Chimaev? That's a easy money. All day putting money on Gilbert. Second question. Michael Bisping said he don't have anything to do, blah, blah, blah. He's free. He'll give predictions. Why there's no fucking Friday episode then if you don't have what to do? And third, since Bisping is big timing you guys and he's a star now and all that, can we have a two-post podcast even without him? I think Anthony Smith and Harrington can do it. All right, we are almost at the minute. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Well, listen, you fucking piece of shit. When you come on here, you want to give me a fucking hard time on my own podcast. Listen, I don't know where you're from, but you can fucking go back there and stay there, okay? I tell you this right now for one reason only. I say already, right? I said, Anthony, do a podcast with just the Harrington and the guys, and they didn't want to do this. I suggest this all the time, but I don't know where is this. It started off in Russia, and now it's going into Milan. Harrington, what?
I'll tell you what happened. I threw my body in front of it because I'm like, listen, this is the best possible Mike Harrington you're going to get, right? Every, like, once every 2-3 months, fill in when the co-host isn't here. God bless you. I can maybe hold on for like 90 minutes. If you get me in large doses, No. This is the Michael Bisping podcast.
I agree with all of
it. Funnily enough, Brian does. No. We talked about this at the top of the show. We apologize, but we're going to be back in strength. Listen, Anthony's a very busy man. So am I, you know. So we've been doing one a week. We're going to hopefully go back to the second one a week as well, because I'm not going anywhere for the rest of this month. Still lots of things to do. But anyway, what was his question? Did he have one? Or was it just a basically say Bisping, fuck you?
The Burns odds.
Oh, I get it. You know, it sounds like the bookmakers have been seduced by the confidence that I talked about, by the storyline, by the dominance, by the sheer display of brutality, technique, and sheer will to win that is shown every single time. He has shown his opponents no respect whatsoever. He's gone in there. He's had the perfect approach to everyone, right? Li Jingliang? Yeah, when he shot that takedown, it was unreal. Against all of them, it's been just fantastic. And yes, I understand if I'm Gilbert Burns, I feel a little disrespected, and that might put a little pep in his step, a little extra power in the punch, you know? And God bless him. May the best man win, because I'm truly looking forward to it. But, and if Gilbert Burns does it, well, then he can go out there and he can show out, say, I proved everybody wrong. But you know what? It don't really matter. I was often the underdog. I was more often than not the underdog against Rockhold. I was a massive underdog, you know? And sometimes that fuels you. So for Gilbert Burns coming into this one, it can fuel him big time. Be like, because that gives you a chip on the shoulder. When you see that, you're like, these motherfuckers, they're not respecting what I bring to the table. I work my ass off. I've been around this game for a long time. I'm a jiu-jitsu champion. And this motherfucker's the new kid on the block, and he comes in here, and he just all of a sudden is a fucking gigantic favorite over me. That fuels you more than anything else. So, hey, listen, Gilbert, God bless you. Kamzat Chimaev, have an amazing fight. Can't wait for it.
I mean, it's worth noting that, you know, betting markets are a financial market. And if more people know the name Khamzat, like you said, Khamzat is the one who's, you know, blowing up YouTube channels and getting the algorithm going. People go into their regular sports betting app, they're going to know the name Khamzat, right? And be like, they're going to be that much more likely to click on that person to bet. So the books have to do what they have to do to protect themselves.
Bro, I've been around doing this for a long, long time. Khamzat Chimaev is the new kid on the block. He's on like 3.5 million Instagram followers. Do you know what I mean? The following that he has amassed so quickly, it's staggering. It really is. Like when we were in Vegas, you wouldn't think so, but a lot of people are like, well, Khamzat, you know, they all know who he is. Anyway, Brian, next one, please.
All right. This one comes from Kirk Slim's girlfriend.
Oh.
Ooh.
Kirk Slim.
Hi, guys. My question is, what is your favorite walkout?
Well, Kirk Slim's girlfriend, she was very to the point. I mean, listen, I know we said send your questions into bympod@gmail.com. Keep them succinct. Keep them slim. Keep them Slim Jim's girlfriend, whatever her name is. But not that slim. Do you know what I mean? Give us a little color. Give us a little character. Give us a little joke. Give us a little fun, you know? But all right, just get to the point. What's your favorite walkout? What's my favorite walkout? I'm the only one here. Harrington, what was your favorite walkout?
But Covington.
Yeah.
Coming out to Kurt Angle's fucking music every time. That is the funniest bit. It's awesome.
It is good. That music is good. That is good. But okay. Harrington, favorite walkout in all of MMA?
I mean, this it made it a song in like my regular rotation. One of my favorite songs ever. Robbie Lawler's Hold On, I'm Coming. just great. It's just, there's something about it, like, it just, I don't know, gets my juices flowing every time. Love it.
I cannot even think of it.
Something about a man liking horns. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it sounds awful. Two spring to mind. Anderson Silva and Chuck Liddell, they would both come out to DMX, wouldn't they? I think. You know what I mean? DMX. And then like the smoke, and Chuck Liddell would come out and he'd do that at the start. Shout out Chuck Liddell, the Iceman throwback there. But he used to have some epic walkouts. And of course, Anderson Silva used DMX as well. And what was it? What was the song? Whatever. Who cares? But yeah, there we go. There we go. Do we have one more to finish off?
I do. And oddly enough, it's from Kirk Slynn. So.
Hi, guys. My question today is, who is your three favorite active fighters to watch in the UFC right now? Mine would be Arnold Allen, Nate Diaz, and Anthony Smith. If Michael was still fighting, he'd be number one.
Yeah, right. Slim, have a bit of dignity. You don't have to kiss ass. You know what I mean? You've got the devil filter on, right? Okay. Kirk Slim's girlfriend is just going to be girlfriend. She ain't going to be Kirk Slim's girlfriend if you continue like this. Man up. Stop it. Stop kissing a man's ass. What was his question?
Top three favorite active fighters to watch.
Go ahead, Harrington.
I'm going to say Brian Barberina. I'm going to say Khamzat Chimaev. And I've never not gotten excited for an Anthony Smith fight. So I will throw him on there for sure.
Brian?
I'm not going to say Anthony Smith just because it'd be copying everybody else. But other than Anthony, let's go with Paddy Pimblett. He's always a good time to watch. Francis Ngannou, because you know there's going to be a train wreck. And hey, man, I'm going to say Colby Covington. He's awesome, dude. Fuck it. Yeah, I'm a Colby fan.
Just Fox News Brian over here.
Let me see. It's hard because there's so many great fighters, but one that springs to mind straight away, and I know his last fight was a little lackluster, but I'm always so intrigued to see his fights, Israel Adesanya. You know what I mean? He is a mastermind on the feet, and I love watching his approach. So there's him. You know, listen, love it or hate it, and this is why he's got so much money. Conor McGregor brings a lot of excitement. You cannot fucking deny that. Do you know what I mean? You know, so there's another one. And who's a third? I'm going to say my mate, Tom Aspinall. Loving the journey that he's on right now. Sunday night in Manchester, we went out. There was me, Tom, his father, Daz Morris, Joe Long. Carlos Condit, the natural born killer, was with us. We had a great dinner. But yeah, Tom Aspinall, he's the man. Anyway, that's it. That's the show.
Before all that, though, I do want to say, hey, if you want to send in a question, head on over to bympod@gmail.com to send that in. If you enjoy the show audio-wise, head over to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Leave a rating and review. 5 stars and a positive review would be pretty cool to us. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and then click that notification bell to find out whenever we drop a new episode. And if you want to get over 300 episodes of this podcast, you can't find anywhere else, ad-free, uncensored, the whole nine, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself 7 days free.
Thanks to everybody who's keeping us in the top 50 in the UK charts. That's pretty fucking sweet.
Wow. But we used to be top 10. So, you know, I'm all about it, but come on, let's go. No, the numbers are really increasing lately. Thank you all very much. A lot of people loving Anthony Smith on the show, as do I. Got a nice balance of a bit of humor and obviously in-depth analysis. And we're going to keep going. We're going to be going from strength to strength. Don't worry, we are going to do this camping trip with Anthony Smith at some point. That's going to be fun. The four of us will all be on location. We'll bring a camera guy down. And yeah. As I say, thank you for supporting the show. We truly appreciate it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. So anyway, there it is. There's the show. Take care. We'll see you on Monday. Without fail, we'll see you on Monday.